This is a really sexual episode. Strap in. I say that a lot. Strap in. I think we need to hashtag juicy for this episode. Ooh, that's where I got the word juicy. Juicy. Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes everything sexy again. I'm Rachel Pitts, mom, realtor with BRG, and creator of The Closing Curve.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and a sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv Company. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
Maybe not you and me.
You don't want to talk about sex with you and me.
But we'll talk about sex today with Missy Garcia.
Oh, yeah. We are talking about sexual empowerment and leadership. It is a juicy episode.
Yep. And you may be wondering, how does sexuality and leadership link together? But Missy fills you in. Missy is a powerful sex and leadership coach for women who are desperate to escape from their dull and disconnected lives. She offers sage advice about sexuality and leadership from a raw place that is developed through her own journey of self-transformation, which is really interesting. Missy is passionate about empowering women with tools to come back into the true beauty of who they are, guide them to opening their heart completely to loving all of themselves and totally embracing their badass queen within. She coaches women to access their inner power, to be healed from within, and bring back the juiciness into their life, careers, and relationships.
Ooh, that's where I got the word juicy.
Juiciness. And I think that's really, really important that sometimes people are stuck in something, their life is kind of in a dull place and it's really feeling dry and lifeless. And juiciness, they may not really know that's what they're looking for, but that's where it's at, the juiciness.
Well, I think in general, just to be productive and effective in your life, if you don't have that core in place of who you are and being grounded and having all of that, nothing else works.
Amen to that, sister.
So this is a really sexual episode. Good for men and women, and really addressing that and how you can harness that. Sorry, I felt like I needed to use that word.
No harness.
I don't.
Oh, gosh. Well,
I will say that one of the things that in this episode that really kind of struck me was she points out the need to draw boundaries and how we as women have not always, we have not done that growing up. We were conditioned to please everybody. And yeah, how can you be a really good leader if you've kind of grown up conditioned that way? I'm not going to say much more, but that was sort of my aha takeaway. So we don't just talk about sex. So if you're a mom and you've got kids, you're in the car listening, I'll let Rachel run with this.
Well, I would recommend as a mom to give it a listen beforehand and then decide.
Or a dad. We have dads listening.
That's right. If you're a parent and you might want to give this a listen, because we do actually delve into how to talk to your kids about their own sexuality so that they are comfortable and it's appropriate. So you might want to let them listen, but that's going to be your boundary to decide if you want to let them listen. I would recommend listening through it first.
Yeah, we just wanted to give you a forewarning on this episode.
You were warned.
What else should we tell them about? Just a reminder, if you want to spend more time with Rachel and I, you can join our special private exclusive group, Warner World, at warner-world.com. Go check that out. Anything exciting you want to, anything you're working on, Rachel, you want to share?
I'm working on all kinds of things, but I'm not going to tell you about them just yet. We're not quite ready to announce anything new, but there's new up and coming stuff in my world. And Warners, if you haven't given us a review yet, please go to our show on iTunes. You can rate us as high as 5 stars and leave your comments. If you leave us a nice juicy comment, we'll read your review on an upcoming episode and give you a super duper shout out. You can also access our iTunes page from our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
I think we need to hashtag juicy for this episode. So if you use the word juicy in your review, you get extra points. So I think we should move on to this episode with Missy Garcia. We're going to just jump right in. Welcome, Missy, to the Women Your Mother Warned You About. You have been warned and you are still here with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
You're so welcome. So you started to say that you were listening to the episode. Well, you listened to the period episode, my favorite episode, and the episode with Caitlin, the photographer, and you really loved that one. Is there anything that stuck out in your mind in either one of those?
Just the body image stuff that all of us women come through and deal with and how it's still so ingrained in us. And just being able to put out like images of ourselves or just be able to like authentically show up as ourselves is like something that is not naturally authentic for women because we've been pinned against each other and we've been like, oh, well, you should be like that or you need to be like this or that's not okay. And so just I love the conversation that you had because it's just really raw and authentic.
And, you know, it's ironic that we recently recorded an episode, sort of like a follow-up episode to that, because I went through, I signed up for one of her boudoir shoots because she was running like a special and I'm like, I'm going to take that. That's really, I'm taking that. And then I wish I had done it too. and we talk about, the process that I went through going through it and doing it. And then like, now what do I do with these photos? Cause I really took them for myself and nobody else. It was about self-love, but it was this empowering. I was telling Rachel, I'm like, it was so empowering to go through that and do that. And like, just love yourself exactly as you are.
Totally. I've done one too. I did one a couple of years ago and actually I had some images of my husband in it as well. And I absolutely love them. And I remember leaving that shoot and just feeling so like embodied with my amazingness of myself and just like, fuck yeah, I'm like sexy, I'm hot, I can rock this. And I love those images. And it was so empowering for me to do that and to show up in that space of really just owning who I am.
And I think every woman should have that moment. I think if any woman is out there listening to this and you have not had that moment at least once in your life, we're like, I'm fucking rocking this earth right now. Then go and find it. If it's a boudoir shoot or whatever it may be, because I've done a lot of performing in some fancy costumes and love it. And I've had that I'm fucking rocking the world feeling in my life. And I can't wait to do a shoot with Caitlin, a boudoir shoot. I've always wanted to do one with her. So on deck.
Oh, you're gonna love it. Whether it's a boudoir shoot or your red lipstick, right? Like whatever makes you feel good. Like we're all rocking the red lipstick today. Whatever makes you feel good is the thing that you have to do. I have a strange feeling. I could be wrong. I'm making an assumption. Ready for this, Rachel? Missy, have you read the book Pussy?
Oh hell yeah!
I figured. How could you not? How could you not, looking at all that you're doing, what we're about to get into, but you know, that book is so powerful in how she gives you these exercises to love yourself and to like love yourself exactly as you are, which is really hard for women to do no matter what their size is, their background, their whatever. We all judge ourselves, instead of love ourselves. So that book has been so empowering and like, just get looking, just being half naked every day as I get ready, looking in the mirror and like loving what I see.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just being able to just feel into the beauty of who you are, and every single day, just honoring it. No matter if it's even like beauty of bitchiness. I know, like, again, you're talking about the period episode and you're like, stay away from me today. But it's like, hey, that's a beauty too. And that's a gift as well. I honor my bitchiness because, hey, it got me out of things. That's for sure.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's a really good point. Well, I want to start with the most obvious question, at least for me. I don't know if Rachel has the same obvious question, but going through your website and looking at everything that you do, we're really intrigued by you. So we love the opportunity of having you here today because I think your niche is interesting and right in alignment with what we do. So I want to know, what does sexual empowerment and leadership weave together? And how did you choose this path as a niche in what you're doing? So you're talking about sex, leadership. I'm sure people are like, what?
Everybody is like, what? How does that go together? So I'm going to start with the second half of the question. How did I pick it? I didn't really pick it. It picked me. I was doing a meditation, trying to discover what my niche was. I went through Layla Martin's Sex, Love, and Relationship coaching program. And when I went into that coaching program, my intention was to get skills to help me with my own trauma. I had sexual trauma, and to not necessarily come out on the other end as a coach, but as I went through it, I was like, how can I not show these gifts into the world and help other women feel as empowered and as like whole as I do now? So I did a meditation, and it was just downloaded into me, sexify your leadership, sex and leadership. And I was like, okay. Google search, who's like doing that out in the world, like blatantly together, and nothing came up. Like, there's sexuality coaches that bring in some leadership. There's some leadership coaches that bring in some sexuality, but no one was really like honing in together blatantly out there. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going on the path because this is my soul's work. It's just been told to me that that's what I need to do. So I did it. But how it weaves together is because in leadership, I think as we start, a lot of us just live from the head up. And so when we live from the head up, we're constantly spinning our brains thinking, right? Like, and then it's like, okay, now let's go into the heart space. Let's like bring in that vulnerability and that compassion and let's open that. And it's like, okay, cool. But you're missing a whole other half of what you're capable of. And so I like to teach women how to come down into their sexuality, into their power, into their fuel, for them to be able to use that to embody leadership. Because if you're connected, I mean, your pelvic floor is connected to your throat, which is connected to your voice and your thyroid. And so, hello, just right there in that connection, as a leader, you need to be able to express, you need to be able to talk, you need to be able to show up with confidence. And so that's one huge connection. Another one, creativity. I mean, you said it on that podcast I listened to just last night. We create life. Yeah, men have a little part in it, but we create life. And so we can use that energy to create business projects, to create conversations, to create ideas. And so tapping in again from this space down from our sexual center is going to help support that, support our heart, also just like magnetizing. I mean, how amazing do you feel after you just had amazing orgasms, right? Like, you just radiate and you just like, whoo. What's the first thing, like, when you're pregnant, they're like, oh, you're just like oozing and just radiating and so beautiful. It's because of this beautiful, like, feminine energy that's just going through you. So I just like to bring the two together for people to realize that if they come down into their root and use that energy and know how to work with it, that they can use it in a way that's empowering, that's fueling for them, not for anybody else, but for them.
Well, I read one of your blogs on this specific area. And another thing that you kind of pointed out was it said strong AF boundaries. I'm going to guess that's strong as fuck boundaries.
Yes.
Brilliant. Strong boundaries. Gina, good yes. Deduction.
I love it. Well, it says strong AF boundaries. I'm like, That's strong as fuck for sure.
Yes.
So I found that really interesting. Will you touch on that?
Yeah. So, okay, as women, we've been so trained to give away our sexuality, right? Like, if we need to give it away to attract a partner, to, you know, even some with manipulation purposes, to just put ourselves like in a sexy light, you know, like, hello, Hollywood and all of that. Like, it's been given away. We've been conditioned in that way. We've also been trained to not have boundaries around penetration. Let's just like some of us, yeah, a little bit, but not really, right? There's an obligation that's always underlying. So if you're in a partnership and it's like, oh, you need to show up for your partner in this way and make sure that they're satisfied, blah, 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 blah. Well, when you're so connected, and again, I think she talks about this in Pussy, when you're so connected into your sexuality, so connected into your pussy, that no way is anything penetrating her unless it's a whole body yes. And when you can feel that whole body yes and be able to say it, but you can also feel that whole body no and say it, especially around sex, you can show up in that way with anything else. So if somebody puts, you know, hey, you want to come do this interview at 5 o'clock in the morning, you could be like, is that a yes? Is that a no? And you can just honor that, right? That's strong boundaries. Somebody asking of something for you, you know, during the time of my month, I'm like, no, probably not going to happen. Ask me again next week. So you can just have really good boundaries when you can really honor your center and tap into her yes or no. You can do that with anything else that's being asked upon you.
Do you think that people are... not people, women are, some people are born with an innate connection to their sexuality and others have to learn it? Because I mean, I was really connected with my sexuality from really young, like to the point where people are like, oh God, this girl, but you know, I'm just connected to it. And I know that there's, you can actually, or I've been able to, especially when I was teaching dance, I could tell like which girls had had sex. Like I could immediately tell in ballet class, oh, that one had sex this weekend, because you, it's just a different way of holding yourself because you're the mm-hmm. teens are suddenly connected to the lower part of their body. And they're not like, ooh, what's going on? What do I do with this? And it's really weird and icky. And I think sometimes there's women that go through adulthood and they still have that. Even if they've had sex, they've obviously probably had not great sex, or they maybe have never had an orgasm, bless their hearts. Like, and they just, I think that's a real big connection. But I'm guessing you would agree there's this, if there's a disconnect between being comfortable with your sexuality, it shows up in a lack of confidence, because it's such a crucial part of what being a woman is all about. You know, whether you have children or not, if you're not connected to all that pelvic floor stuff, I'm sure you can get into the science of it, but it's just, there's a disconnect that happened with women when they think it's icky. And I think that Regina Thomasauer really touches on that with Pussy, that we're so disconnected. And now I'm reading, at Keith's suggestion, Slow Sex, which I'm sure you're familiar with as well, where she talks about, oh God, it's so good. She really gets into, and the reason I thought of it is A, I'm reading it right now, but B, she talks about what you just talked about, which is that penetration is so much, you know, the end goal, like the male climax is so much the end goal of traditional sex and what most of the time happens with people. And then this sense of failure when it doesn't go the way you think it should be. And so she gets into the whole other side of just exploring that sensuality of sexuality that doesn't have an end goal. It's great.
Yeah. That's important. Yeah. So I believe that all of us are connected innately into our sexuality. I mean, we masturbate in the utero. So that's like a normal thing. I think it's conditioned upon us to change based off of our social conditioning, our family conditioning. You know, if you're caught playing with yourself as a child, were you shamed for it? Were you like, oh, that's icky, don't touch there, don't look at it, don't, you know? So I think that comes on in a dancing world. I think women are a little bit more naturally connected into it because they have to move their hips. And when you're moving your hips, the flow between your hips with your sexuality is going to flow. So I think it's something that's taken away from us, and especially with women, because we are put into a certain box of how we're supposed to show up and how we're supposed to be. Myself, I was disconnected from it. I have a gift. I can call it a gift now. I can feel sexual energy, like really like hardcore. I can feel it. And so growing up, I never knew what that was when it was being projected onto me as men, from men especially. And so I literally like just felt so uncomfortable, made myself very small. And then again, I had sexual trauma. And so it was just like, okay, cut completely off from that. I used to have panic attacks with my husband before we would be intimate, like literally panic attacks. And there's moments that I would like throw him off of me and just like freak out. So there was so much in my body. And so I had to come back to be with it. I had to come back to be able to release the shame, to be able to feel comfortable with it again. So I think, you know, multiple times we could disconnect from it, but we can also journey back to it at any point in time if we decide to.
Well, tapping into that, the trauma piece of it, because I wanted to ask you about that a little bit, because there's the innate part. But then if you've had a trauma, right, it could have been innate, and then the trauma comes in, and then how do you dig back in to get back to that? Like with any trauma, like all of the things that we have challenges with as adults, there's some sort of childhood trauma.
Oh, yeah.
And until you recognize what the trauma is and you accept that it's there and then you work on it, you're not going to get your way back to being the best human you can be in any aspect.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was in therapy since I was like 11. I was actually talking to my friend about this last night, and I was in therapy since I was 11. I was suicidal at 12. I was just like on antidepressants, on sleeping pills at 12 years old. And I think I saw maybe 7 therapists between 12 and 22. Nobody addressed trauma with me. It was all just cognitive behavioral talk therapy. Nobody addressed trauma. And it wasn't until I went into Layla's program and did a 600 hour that I started layer by layer dealing with the trauma that was in my body. That's the thing that people don't recognize. Like, you can't just think your way out of it. It's living in your body that it literally halts you, freezes you, constricts you, shuts you down. And so once like layer by layer that started to come off, I started to feel whole again. There's still many layers that I have to go into, but I feel whole and I feel capable and I can show up in a way that I was never able to before. So it is a journey. For those of you that do experience trauma, I recommend starting to work with somebody that has somatic awareness, that does somatic psychology or somatic experiencing. Get the book, The Body Keeps the Score. That was eye-opening for me. It took me probably like 3 months to finish it. Not because it wasn't juicy content, because it triggered me. I had so many aha, like, oh my gosh, and I had to integrate and process and deal with what I had just learned. Because again, it was a long time of me holding this trauma in my body, seeing many professionals and not getting the support and the help that I really needed.
Which is scary.
So scary. So scary.
For you to go through that much therapy, and I've been through plenty of therapy, and Rachel, I'm sure, has had her bouts with that. Like, we are all into like taking care of ourselves, mind, body, and soul. But a lot of times therapy is just, they're just listening to you ramble and they're not really giving you anything to work on the trauma piece of it.
Well, are they not giving you, I mean, let's face it, the therapist's job is to help you unlock the things that are locked up, for lack of a better way of expressing it. You know what I mean? Like, when you finally, Missy, when you finally found that program that you went through, it helped you unlock the layers. And the therapists, you know, they just don't see it. They don't see where they don't say it in a way that you can latch onto it to unlock for yourself. Because they're really guides, like truth guides. And if you don't get the right one that can, you know, see what, or has the experience and the types of things that somebody's been through, they can't help you get to it, because you have to want to get to, or, you know, be able to get to it.
Yeah. And like be able to like get to it is a really good sort of way of saying it, because again, cognitive like therapy, behavioral therapy is working on your cortical thinking brain. So that's like your thinking brain. You have your limbic brain, which is going to be your emotional brain, but then you have your primal brain, which is in the body. And that's where all of this is stored. And so if they're not using tools to get you into your body to help to release what's in the body, you have to complete those stress cycles. We're constantly like, that's when we're getting triggered, is because that stress cycle hasn't been completed. And so we need to complete those stress cycles so we can not get triggered by those.
You know, David Avery touches on that in Game Changers on that a whole part of trauma where it's a fight or flight that your body has been conditioned to. So whatever that trauma was that happened to you, your DNA now is like grabbed onto that and doesn't know how to let go of it.
Yeah.
And it is going into your body and starting to affect your health.
Yeah, absolutely. So not only does it stored in your body, it affects your health. I mean, one example is when people get drunk and they get angry, it's because we store anger in our liver. And so then when they're drinking, it's affecting the liver, and then it releases that anger that's been stored there. And so that's why they get really angry. So we store emotions in our body too.
Ooh, that was like a mic drop moment.
And you know, the other thing about any type of trauma and peeling away those layers that you were talking about, Missy, is it's scary for people to face those demons. And I think in terms of sexuality, people don't really want to look at it sometimes because they're afraid what they find there might prove that they're not good enough, or like prove that they're not good at sex, or prove that they're just not, just unworthy in some way. Where I would assume that the opposite is true, is if you really, you know, once you face your demon, then you diffuse it, like you destroy it after a while, probably, of battling it. But like, it's like shining a light in the darkness and realizing that what you thought was there isn't really there at all. It was just the thought of it.
Yeah. And learning to embrace it. So learning to embrace the dark and also get into the light. But again, that's what I love about sexuality work, is because I feel like the majority of us women have an underlying core conditioning that we're not good enough, that we're not worthy. And when you can tap in to your sexuality and experience the beauty of just your pleasure and your energy and just be able to be with it. I come out from like my self-pleasure sessions that I do with myself, which is like my self-meditation sessions. And I come out and I'm just like, fuck yeah, I'm worthy. Like, of course I'm worthy. And this doesn't come from just a thinking about it place. This comes from a full embodied place of just like, of course, I'm worthy. Like, your pleasure does that to you.
That's how I felt with the boudoir shoot.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I walked out going, damn, I'm sexy.
Yeah. And I am so fucking worthy of whatever I want. Yeah. Because you're so tapped into your pleasure center.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give our listeners one or two tips on if they are listening and going, how do I do that? I have no idea. Like, where should they start?
Well, I love self-pleasure. I think self-pleasure is great, but I know a lot of women, that's just like too much for them too soon. Even just sitting here, like before I got on the session, I was just sitting here and I was just directing my breath. And I love that I can say this word with you guys, into my pussy. I was just directing my breath all the way down into my pussy and just letting that breath like bring awareness, bring fire, bring life to her. And so it can just be as simple as you just breathing into her and just realizing that she's there and that you can come back into connection. Now, on top of that, just like touching your body, like feeling pleasure, even just by rubbing your arms, you know, rubbing your breasts, your hands through your hair, and just activating pleasure in your body again. We've been so conditioned for pain that we forget that we are pleasurable beings and it's okay to feel pleasure in our body. And it's really soothing for your nervous system when you're overwhelmed.
I recently talked to someone who, and I haven't had a chance to look this up, but it was like a study done on skin starvation and how, especially with men are so much more into pornography, and it's getting worse because there is this skin starvation going on where people are no longer touching because they're not necessarily, we're so virtual and technology and you're texting, and but you know, you're not really actually seeing people. And so now people are not even super comfortable. Like, I'm a hugger, or I always touch someone's arm when I talk to them. But that's not happening. And people are, there's this starvation to be touched. I mean, we need to be touched.
Yeah. And even going to,
even if it's by yourself.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to start, because a lot of the times if we try to put it onto our partner, hey, can you touch me like this? Can you, and they're like, they just don't do it. Right. Like my husband, I love him, but he gives the worst back massages. So it's like, if I'm going to go for a back massage, either I'm going to start rubbing my own shoulders or I'm going to actually get a professional to touch me, because he just doesn't do it right.
And I think getting back to Rachel's question on some of those tips. So those women who are like, self-pleasure, what? Like, it could be a massage.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Right. So it's what is going to make you happy, tap into you. So there are different ways of self-pleasure. We're not just talking about masturbation here.
Yeah. So getting, you know, touching yourself, getting a massage, but also, you know, masturbation is really powerful, and not just with Amen. The end goal of having an orgasm, to actually be able to be with your energy, to work with your energy, to move that energy. I think that we think like it just needs to explode like out of our clitoris and then we're gone, like done, go on with your day. For me, it's like 30 minutes of just being able to move.
And sometimes that's okay too.
Totally. Well, that is
take
fine.
It back to you casually dropped the bomb of that masturbation is common in you in the womb. And so if it's so common, and I know that it's common in nature as well, so then what is it that makes, I guess it's like religion and society's rules that have taught us that, you know, that it's bad. And it's actually like the most intimate and loving thing that you can do for yourself. 'Cause like, you're the only one that really knows how to touch yourself in a way that really is exactly right. And then I think we all search for the partner that you can get, the partner that can like get that going on for you. You know what I mean? Or in a way that's even better than what you could do for yourself. But people just have, it's just got the stigma. It's just a damn shame, I think.
I agree. I think because generation, like your parents did it to you and you just did it, you know, naturally then change and do that with your kids. I have two kids. I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son. And I was like, I'm not going to shame them around that. I don't remember if I was shamed, to be honest. I don't remember much of my childhood, which kind of tells you a lot about some trauma that I may have experienced. So I don't remember if I was shamed around that or if I was ever into touching myself. But I can tell you that both of my kids do. My daughter, it's like a coping mechanism for her. It's a soothing mechanism for her. And I just show them, like, you know, it's not really a good thing to be doing at school. You want to do it with, you know, where you're safe and where you have privacy and where you can feel very supported in your own, you know, body. And so your bedroom's a beautiful place for that. The bathroom's a beautiful place for that. And so I just honor that in them. So it's just changing
totally.
That paradigm.
And I'm totally in agreement with that. My daughter and I, she heard me talking on the phone after I had read the Regina Thomas Hour's book about pussy. And she heard me say to my husband, I said, I think I'll just quit everything and become a pussy expert. I just think that's the deal. And then my... Oh, to you?
I think
was
you said
it to
that
you?
To me.
It was probably to both of you.
Yeah.
And then
you were talking
so
to me on the phone.
My daughter heard me and she asked me, and she's like, well, what are you talking about? First of all, she didn't understand that word. She's 10. And so we talked that through, and it was, I aspire to break that cycle of shame. And I've had that same conversation that, you know, she, somebody at her school or something happened at school about kids touching themselves. And we had that conversation a long time ago. And I said the same thing. I said, it is perfectly okay to do that. And to prevent other people from judging you about it, you want to be in a safe place. Like you said, your bedroom, your bathroom, when you're on your own and you're in a safe, safe place where no one can tell you that it's wrong. It's your body. You should know your way around it, and you should have your boundaries so that nobody else ever comes along and makes you feel bad about your own body.
Yeah.
And having the conversations around it with kids, I think, is so important. And I'm not a mom, but I have a lot of mom friends, but also dad friends. I've got a dad friend who they just moved into a new house and their son is going into his preteen years, and the house has that's like two bedrooms on one floor and one bedroom on the other floor. And they put him on the upstairs bedroom to himself. And the dad talked to him and said, "Hey, listen, you can do whatever you want up here." And had the talk with him. And of course the son's like, "Dad," and he's like, "No, it's going to be important. You might not feel it like it is right now, but just know you're going to have this privacy."
Yeah.
I think, and it's okay.
That's so great. And especially because men have been so trained, like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get it done, right? And so, hello, that's been conditioned into them to last like 30 seconds to 2 minutes. And that portrays
into the relationship. Oh my God, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it's like, if we could teach our sons how beautiful it can be and how they can learn to work again with moving their energy and not have to just force it off, that it can be an actual sort of self-care practice that they can do. Hello, that's going to, make for really cool stuff later on.
Yeah, and I think also if people are having healthy conversations about sexuality to kids at a young age, then there probably could be less cases of sexual trauma later on, because people learn to value this act rather than, A, force themselves through it, or B, force themselves upon someone. And, if people could have, if the whole idea of sex could be not something cloaked in shame and just that it's a beautiful thing rather than there's just so much dysfunction. And I think that it's a lot of it's lack of conversation. I mean, half the guys out there don't know what the hell to do with a clit at all. And they're going to pretend like they know, or they're just going to, like you said, get on with it and get over it and hope nobody, mentions that thing.
Yeah. Or make it all about them. And it's just about my pleasure, which then again, keeps the paradigm of women that they're just there to serve the man, to get him off. And so, yeah, I think like that huge shift starts with us as parents to change that paradigm within the household. Again, going back to the period conversation that you guys were having, my kids know about the period. They see me on my period every single month. They know the why and the process. And I keep my daughter's 8. I'm like, this is going to be, happening in a couple of years for you. Well, hopefully about 4. I had mine at 12. So, so I'm like, in about 4 years, and she's like, huh, but then again, come 4 years, it's not going to be a shocker. Like, what the heck is going on with my body? She knows it's coming. She knows what to expect. She knows how to care for herself.
And to take away the fear of it. There's a really great book that I think American Girl put out. It's called The Care and Keeping of You or something like that. And it talks about it gives you a plan. Because when my daughter found out about the period deal, she's like, oh God, whoa. And I said, look, here's your plan. If it happens at school, and they give the great example in the book, like if it happens to you the first time at school, guess what? Your teacher had her period she had her period for the first time a long time ago too. Like every woman that you run into, you can walk up to them and say, oh my gosh, I just got my period. And they're going to help you. Every single woman. There's not a woman out there that doesn't understand that feeling of like, oh gosh, I need some help in this moment. And she was like, okay.
That's how empowering is that for our daughters to know that, and for them to feel like, oh, this is just what my body's going to do. And I'm like, it's your superpower. Totally. It's insane.
Hey Warners, you have probably heard me talk on several occasions about how much I love wearing red lipstick. Lipstick is just one of those things that makes me feel good about how I look, and sometimes a little extra enhancement to my lips from Dermavogue doesn't hurt either. I've known Dr. Jim Turek of Dermavogue for years. He is not only my doctor who keeps my body healthy, he and his Dermavogue team keep my face looking healthy. And maybe a little younger, maybe. I mean, I love it when people say,
something looks different about your face, but they can't really tell because that's really what you want. You want to go to a place that makes your face look good and it makes people wonder what happened. So what's really cool about Dermavogue being our premier sponsor of this show is the fact that I'm a client, and I was a client before they became a partner of the show. So we're excited about that. Dermavogue has been offering the greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. Opened by Dr. James Turek, Dermavogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing you the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Their patients enjoy only the absolute best in laser technology, including photodynamic laser therapy, hydrofacials, and V-beam laser treatments, as well as the latest fillers such as Botox, skin peels, facials, and more. At Dermavogue, they engage you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic, dermatology, and spa treatments. It's human nature to want to look your best, right? Let Dermavogue help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444 or visit dermavogue.com and tell them that the women your mother warned you about sent you. You can also find them on our website. Go check it out. So when we look at sexuality in the workplace, right, that's another place where we're kind of told to downplay it and not tap into it. And since you do this work that blends sexual empowerment and leadership, what's some advice that you can give to women, you know, in their jobs, in their businesses, on how to find a way to balance those two? And I really love the piece about boundaries, because that really resonated with me of how we have been conditioned as women to kind of pacify, to kind of give things away, to kind of give in to situations. And that to me was super powerful, because that really impacts what kind of leader you're going to be, what kind of employee you're going to be, what kind of business owner you're going to be. So what are your thoughts around that, and advice that you can give women, you know, in a business aspect?
Yeah. So working with your cycle is really helpful. That changed so much for me as well. So I know there's times when you can't necessarily work with your cycle because you have to show up and do things. But if you can plan your actual big projects around your cycle, where you're not going to be doing the actions of your project during your actual menstruation, you can do them afterwards or around ovulation and until menstruation, you're going to have the most energy, most creative power to be able to do that. So that's going to be something that's really amazing. I recommend an app called My Flow, and that helps you to know where you're at with your cycle, what some good foods to eat, what to expect, and like kind of productivity wise. So you can understand that. And the cool thing is you can link it to it emailing your partner, so they know as well. And so that's really awesome. Also with that is knowing, like, if you can just tap into yourself, then you can tap into your energy. And again, we've been trained in the workplace to be more like a man. You have to be like a man. And so we can have our own beautiful gifts and use our gifts and be with our gifts. And when we feel so confident with that and just embody it and not know that we're using our sexual energy to manipulate, but just to feel fueled and empowered and totally connected into ourselves. When you walk into a meeting, you can just radiate and ooze confidence and groundedness and be able to speak with your conviction because you're so rooted down into your center. And so that's going to be powerful no matter what business you're in, no matter where you're showing up. Another thing with in the workplace is just going back to the boundaries. If people are trying to put things onto you and you know that it's not the right time, not the right place, then you just can say no, and you can learn to say no. Again, it's going to depend on your job description, but there's going to be times when you be like, look, I can come back to that in a week, or I can come back to that later, but right now, this is what I have going on. This is what I'm focusing on. This is my main thing. This is what my importance is, but I can come back to you in a week. And, you know, so it's just like having boundaries with not just trying to take everything on and overloading yourself and then freaking out in your mind because you have too much on your plate.
I think that's really interesting because I've been in many situations, specifically back in the corporate America days, where things were put on me that felt so uncomfortable that I literally went into fight or flight feeling.
Yeah.
That almost felt like a different type of assault, even though it was like I was being put in a corner to do things that, and not sexual, it was like do things that were not appropriate for business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I felt like so stuck in this corner that I had to do those things. And ultimately, that this is one job in particular, I'm like, not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to risk, like, it was like stuff that could risk getting me in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, legally.
Yeah.
Like, no. And I think a lot of times we don't know how to draw that line and say, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And that comes from our voice being shut down. I mean, we've been told since little girls, like, be seen and not heard. And, you know, don't be too emotional. Don't be too loud. Don't be too this. Don't be too that. Right. So we've constantly been getting like almost threatened around our voice. And especially when it comes to a man. So if your boss is a man, or, you know, you have your, you know, overseers as men and they're coming and asking you of things, there's this underlying sort of conditioning that you got to always say yes to the man. And so when we're not fully embodied with our own power as a woman, then it makes it harder for us to really like say no and just no. We don't need to necessarily give explanations. No is okay. No is enough. And it is a full sentence.
That's right. I was about to say it's a full sentence. Yeah. I love that. I think if a man were to take a strong stand in a situation like, for example, what Gina was just describing, something that would get him in trouble, and he just took a firm stand, then I think it's just in society kind of sometimes more expected for a man. And you go, oh, okay. Oh, he's just strong. He's being strong. But when a woman does it, she sometimes is a bitch, you know? So it's just... it's a very slow shift in society. I think that it's happening, but it's just happening slower in the fact that we can sit here and talk about this openly, you know, that it's not something that's just continuing and noticed. It's now it's being talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's important. The more that we are saying no, the more that it's just going to be a normal thing for people to hear and people to see.
You know, through this conversation, I got a little bit triggered with something you said, Missy, because I literally had a boss say to me, you're being emotional.
Yeah.
And really shut me down. And there was really good reasons for me and I to be emotional. And I said to him, I'm like, right, I am being emotional. I'm exhausted. I'm working 18 hours a day. I was opening a venue, a new attraction. I'm like, I have people pounding down my door, people not showing up to work. I'm in a new environment. I'm begging you to send me help. You've yet to send me help. I'm raising my hand to say I need help because I'm okay with saying I need help. And you're calling me emotional.
Yeah.
If a man raised his hand and said he needed help, would he be called emotional?
No, they send the cavalry.
Send in the women.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the, yeah. Send in the women.
Yes.
Yeah. And they sent in the men and it made it worse. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We are great multitaskers. I mean, we take care of people. We're nurturers when we can do so much and we're creative and we're powerful. Like that's innately within us. And so they throw a lot of times society will throw so much at us and like, you can do it. And especially, I mean, we see this in motherhood, we see this in women in business, we see this all over the place, like, you can do it, why aren't you doing it? And it can get overwhelming. And so the more that we have our strong boundaries, we're rooted in and we can speak and say to what we need. And then, you know, when we're so convicted in it, like, yeah, okay, I can own that I'm tired and I can own that I'm like asking you for help and I can own that you are not actually showing up to support me in this. And whether you call that emotional or not, this is a powerful woman in your face telling you what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, love it. Hey, let's, because sometimes we run out of time before we get to ask these couple of signature questions. What is your definition, Missy, of sexy?
Ooh. Oh. Sexy for me is, and I love how I just close my eyes and just like tapping in. Sexy for me is just this embodiment. It's a feeling. It's an energy. It's a flow within me. So it's not a look. It's not a body type. It's not any like makeup on, makeup off, like wake up in the morning, right, you know, or all done up. It's just like, it's a flow that goes through me. It's a movement that I feel in my body just with being with that energy that flows through my body. That's what sexiness means to me.
Awesome. That's a great answer.
I love it. And I love that you mentioned in there, like, waking up in the morning, because, you know, everybody knows that, like, first thing in the morning, wake up where just it's all on and good stuff. Like, it doesn't have to be all done up on Saturday night. Like, sexy, sometimes the best sexy is first thing in the morning when everybody's got, like, bad breath and bad hair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's just a flow. It's just your own flow. And whatever it means to you and feels to you is going to be so different.
Hey, sexy to me is when I put my red lipstick on.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, I put it on with such intention and care. I do, seriously. It's like this thing, this routine, this ritual of putting it on. I don't know. It sounds crazy.
No, it's not. I am actually putting on my lipstick is my activator, like my superhero activator. I just have only recently committed to the red. I used to just put on a little more neutral thing. Now I just had to find the right red that would stay on all day. I'm in, but I had to experiment and find the right one. All right. So, Missy, what is the best advice that you've ever been given?
Best advice I've ever been given. The answer is always within. I spent so long just trying to find somebody else to save me, somebody else to fix me, somebody else to give me what I need, somebody else to like make me feel whole or feel good. And it wasn't until like I just tapped into myself and realized like everything that I need is always within. So when I was just guided back, like just guide in. Everything you need is always within you. That was probably the best advice that I was ever given.
And to go along with that, what is the best advice you would give to our listeners? One piece of advice.
Probably the same thing.
I was wondering. I was like, I bet you the same answer.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because it's an awesome answer.
Yeah. Everything that we need is within. The answers are within. The wisdom is within. The love was within. The belonging is within. The safety is within. Like all of that can be sourced within. And when you can feel that, you can show up 100% authentic of who you are.
And to really tap into that a little bit more, you know, if you're not feeling like you can go within, you know, you might want to go seek out some sort of counseling, therapy, something.
Coaching.
Some sort of coaching, form of healing. Like, you know, go look for that if you can't, you know, we're all into that and big believers into that. So if you can't go to do it yourself, go get help doing it. That's my two cents.
Yeah. And even just right now, like if you just close your eyes right now and just start to feel like, is there a place within me where I could feel like even a tingling of just love within? And if you can find that, just even if it's so small, if you can find that, just start directing your breath into it. And with each breath going into wherever you're feeling that in your body, it's bringing more energy into it, more fuel into it. Can it expand? Can it get bigger? And do that every single day and you'll start to feel more love that is within you.
Well, it has been awesome having you on the show with us today. Thank you so much. And we know you're like far away, aren't you? Aren't you like
I'm in New Zealand.
Somewhere? Yeah, you're somewhere down under, right? So you're in New Zealand. So thank you. I don't even know what time it is over there, but we appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thanks for
today
having me. And
for our warners to hear you. And Missy, how can listeners reach out to you and learn more about you?
I have my website. So missyagarcia.com.
Awesome. And warners, we'll put all that information in our show notes. We will also, we've referenced several books on this episode. So we will also put links to those books in the show notes. So you can always go to our website to tap into all of those links. You'll learn more about Missy, find out where you can get those books at. And again, Missy, thank you so much for being here today. We're going to wrap up. Thanks to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To learn more about us, you can visit our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. You can also connect with me directly at ginatremarco.com to learn more about just about everything I do. And Rachel?
You can find me, Rachel Pitts, all over social media as Rachel on Real Estate, or you can visit the website of the same name, rachelonrealestate.com. You can also find all of our social media links and free downloads on our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Also on that spiffy website is a link to iTunes where you can find a really cool place to leave us a rating and review in case we didn't mention it earlier. And Warners, keep on keeping it sexy. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.